WDEE at 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Women's National NCAA Basketball Champion, South Carolina.
Perfection with a touch of sweet redemption. Undefeated South Carolina has won its third national championship.
Beating Iowa 87-75, the ABC TV coverage. Egypt says it'll greatly increase the number of aid trucks entering the Gaza Strip to 300 a day. Demanding changes from Israel to reduce civilian deaths in Gaza, President Biden. White House official John Kirby.
We got to see more. We've got to see it over time.
Kirby on ABC's This Week. The Senate's passed a Ukraine military aid bill. The House has not acted. Congressman Mike Turner, Ohio Republican.
We need to make certain that we know that authoritarian regimes never stop when they start an aggression. Ukraine needs our help and assistance now, and this is a very critical time for the U.S. Congress to step up.
Turner on CNN's State of the Union. This is ABC News. Preliminary hearings open tomorrow at the U.N.'s top court in a case that seeks an end to German military and other aid to Israel based on claims that Berlin is facilitating acts of genocide in the war in Gaza. Major traffic headaches expected with tomorrow's total eclipse of the sun. Visitors have poured into Central Texas, one of the prime viewing locations. State Department of Transportation spokesperson Brad Wheelis.
Keep in mind the path of totality goes all the way across the state. And so we're going to have folks not only here in the Austin metro area in Hill Country, but San Antonio down at the border, up in Dallas and those areas. You're going to be stuck in traffic at some point.
One big one. One ticket sold in Oregon. Matched all the Powerball numbers drawn last night, say lottery officials. Jackpot's over $1 billion under the option to get yearly installments. The one-time lump sum payment would be over $600 million. Seven other ticket holders around the U.S. won $1 million each in last night's drawing. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
A fourth-generation family-owned business is running strong thanks in part to Wisconsin cheese. Dufek Wood Products calls Denmark home and has been based in Northeast Wisconsin for close to 120 years. It's best known for manufacturing boxes, which are food-safe to age and ship wheels of cheese and can be reused. But another Dufek Wood product is getting attention thanks to the Guinness Book of World Records. Do you think it's the family's wine boxes, organic garden mulch, or charcuterie boards? The answer coming up. Winter logging for summer building supplies is how the Dufeks started. Manufacturing shifted by 1912 to other wood products, especially those cheese boxes. So did you guess which wood product is getting attention from the Guinness Book of World Records? It's the Dufeks charcuterie boards, with one recently named the largest ever, holding more than 760 pounds of gourmet cheese. That's one huge slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Conservationists are split on President Biden's efforts to strengthen the Endangered Species Act. Mike Moen explains.
Environmental and conservation groups voiced strong opposition to the 2019 changes carried out by the Trump administration, arguing they gutted core elements of the longstanding law. Last week, Biden's staff announced it's reinstating blanket protections for threatened species, and language dealing with economic interests was removed. Susan Holmes with the Endangered Species Coalition says further action is needed.
The regulation repairs some of the holes, but still leaves some big holes in that safety net.
A change not being reversed is a rollback concerning critical habitat, and Holmes says that poses challenges for migratory species. She points to the comeback of the whooping crane as progress that could be derailed. Republican leaders are critical of the new revisions, saying crucial reforms are being tossed aside. Various industries have long called for looser regulations under the law, and if Trump wins the 2024 race for the White House, it's expected they'll make a renewed push to reverse Biden's changes. Holmes says Congress can help mitigate this back-and-forth cycle by boosting funding for the Endangered Species Act.
We are seeing a shrinking of the amount of wildlife that we have, and because of climate change and the biodiversity crisis, you know, wildlife are really having a hard time.
Other wildlife organizations suggest the Biden administration should have acted much sooner to restore protections. Before publishing the final rules, Federal officials said they received nearly 500,000 public comments. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bowe.
Everybody, Todd Albaugh, Monday noon to 2. President Biden is in Wisconsin, and we'll have it for you right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Rain showers continuing tonight, a low around 43. East winds up to 25 miles per hour. Partly sunny, low 60s on your Monday, still a bit breezy. For Monday night, partly cloudy and 40. Slight chance of a shower Tuesday, otherwise mostly sunny, 63. 66 by Wednesday.
It's 45 degrees right now.
Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Civic Media Spotlight. Kicking off Hour 2, we go to the John and Gordy Show from the Civic Media headquarters in Madison. This week, John and Gordy welcome to the show Jim Healy, one of the programmers of the Wisconsin Film Festival.
Mad Radio, WMDX, the John and Gordy Show, 92.7 FM, 1580 AM. All of your social media dial, tune it in, or the Civic Media app, easy to get. Mm-hmm. And you can tune in anywhere in the world.
That's right. I talked to somebody the other day who was on vacationing in Spain.
They were listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. On vacation.
Yeah.
On the app.
Unbelievable. And we have a special guest in the studio this morning. Mm-hmm. It's Jim Healy. He was here prior to this, and we were talking about the Wisconsin Film Festival. And we're going to talk more about it because it begins tonight, one movie at least, tonight. And then it just rolls on for 8 days, 8 days a week.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
You're all ready. You're all set. You're all primed for all the movies.
Yeah.
So how does it all kick off tonight? What's the...
Kicking off tonight at the Barrymore Theater.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We have a sold-out screening of Io Capitano, which is a new film by Matteo Garrone, who's one of the great contemporary Italian filmmakers. I don't know if you know the series Gamora, but that was based on a movie that he made. This is his latest film. It was just one of the five international features nominated for the Oscar a few months ago. It's a marvelous film.
Is it overdubbed with English?
No, or? It will be. It presented, it's mostly in French and Nigerian dialects. It's a film set in Africa and Libya.
Yeah.
It'll be presented with English subtitles.
Okay, subtitles.
All right.
Okay.
Good deal.
And that's at the Barrymore Theater, and you're going to have, of course, opening night reception.
Yes.
Lots of food.
Yes.
Popcorn.
I suppose so, yeah. I guess. I think the Barrymore does do popcorn.
Got to have popcorn. Real butter on the popcorn.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Yeah. Okay.
Diets don't matter anymore. We found that out this morning.
Oh, I'm a popcorn previous fanatic.
I am, too.
A good fresh popcorn.
Always, yeah.
You know, the best way to make it is the stir crazy, made out of West Bend.
No.
Yeah. It's a stir bar. And you put your oil in there and a popcorn and stirs it just like in the movie theaters.
Yeah, John, you just can't help giving food advice.
No, that's right.
No, what is wrong with me, right?
Lately, you've just all been all over that.
And then I go to Badger Popcorn.
Yeah.
And they have great popcorn there. It's a very,
you get your supplies
it's
there.
It's a great hybrid popcorn, by the way. Big kernels, yes. And I mix the white and the yellow together because the yellow is very corny.
Wow.
And the white is nice and fluffy and tasty as well. So then, you know.
I thought I was a popcorn fanatic.
Is that fanaticism? It could be.
What kind of box do you like for your popcorn? Yeah. Do you like the trapezoid box?
I have the little tubs. that you can buy at the store, and it says popcorn on the side.
That's the disposable or the
no, those are permanent, permanent plastic. Okay.
Can we talk about the movies again here? What else is
all right? All right. Well, anyway, so the opening night is tonight at the Barrymore, but we've got then every movie you can possibly think of is going to be out there in the theaters around Madison. And what are some of the theaters that they can see some of these movies?
So we're at the Barrymore tonight and through the end of the festival. So we'll be there until next Thursday.
All right.
And then starting tomorrow
on campus.
On campus, we will be at the Chazen Museum of Art, the UW Cinematheque at Vilas Hall, the Music Hall building on Park Street, and also the Marquee Theater at Union Center.
Yes,
and then on Monday, we're only at the Barrymore and three screens out at Flicks Brewhouse at the Escape
Room. Right. Yeah.
How many films will you be showing during the film festival altogether?
Movies of varying length, so shorts and features. Yeah. It's right around 150.
Wow.
We're usually around that number every year.
Yeah.
You know, one movie that stood out for me,
please,
all these fairly artsy documentaries and movies,
right,
is The Tingler.
Oh.
I mean, you know.
I don't know The Tingler. What is that?
The Tingler is one of the more interesting movies ever made.
Okay, well, first of all, this is a film from 1959 that was released by Columbia Pictures. And in the festival this year, we are celebrating.
Are you actually going to do all of the things that they wanted the theaters to do at the time
we're trying. We're bringing in a specialist to install what is known as Percepto.
Yes, Percepto.
Which was William Castle's gimmick. Castle was the writer, the producer-director of The Tingler, and with every film, starting with The House on Haunted Hill, he had a gimmick, usually ended with the word O. So House on Haunted Hill had Emerjo, and later on 13 Ghosts had Illusiono. But Percepto is... I think it's meant to suggest that you perceive, you will be able to perceive with this special process that when the Tingler has entered the theater, and then, of course, in order to save yourselves, you must scream for your lives.
Scream real loud.
Scream very loud, and that will that will render the Tingler useless.
Now, if you don't know what the Tingler is, it's a spine.
Everybody has a Tingler. It grows on your spine.
But you have to be frightened when you die.
Right.
And that brings life to the spine, the Tingler.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And Vincent Price plays a coroner in the film who removes a Tingler from the spine. It gets loose.
And it gets loose.
In a theater.
Wow.
And then it will get loose in our theater. We have two screenings of the Tingler tomorrow night in Percepto. That's part of our Columbia Pictures 100th anniversary celebration.
And that's at the Cinematheque.
At the Cinematheque at Vilas Hall.
Yeah. By the way, I think you're part of that, aren't you?
Sam?
Yeah, I'm going to be running all the projectors over at the Chazen this weekend.
Oh, okay, Chazen. All right. Okay.
We have we have some 35mm film screening at the Chazen.
Yep.
Sam's one of our 35mm projectionists.
One of the great editors also, you know, in case it breaks or burns.
That's great.
Fingers crossed that doesn't happen. It's not fun, but it does.
It does happen. Oh, no. All right. Well, I'm going to bring in the trailer for The Tingler as well. You know, William Castle.
You'll hear William
Castle. A little
Castle
introduction. It's fantastic stuff.
Okay. So let's highlight at least a few more of these films coming up over the first part of the festival. It goes for 8 days total.
Right.
Oh, we're talking with Jim Healy about the Wisconsin Film Festival here. And by the way, you can call us if you have questions at 608-879-8255. Call us or text with a question if you have about the Wisconsin Film Festival.
We have things from all over the world and throughout film history. So, in fact, on Sunday morning, we're showing two back-to-back Frank Capra silent films from 1928. We're going to have live piano accompaniment. That's also part of the Columbia retrospective that's in the festival.
And there's something great about silent films. I just love, especially the comedies of like Buster Keaton, Chaplin, all the greats,
One of these films is a straight comedy called So This Is Love. It's really terrific. It ends in a boxing ring, and it's fun. And then the other film is Way of the Strong, which is kind of a gangster melodrama, but it has a sense of humor, too. It's terrific.
Now, there was a movie, a dirt bike movie, made in Wisconsin.
A dirt bike movie.
I did.
What are you talking?
Yeah, a woman, a young woman, was into the dirt bike thing just east of us, off of Highway 90, and she passed away due to an accident.
Oh. Yeah.
And I'm just trying to find what that is.
Oh, this is something in the festival?
Yes.
Oh, this
yes.
is probably one of our Wisconsin's own selections.
Yes, absolutely.
I've only seen a few of those. Ben Reiser's our guy who's in charge of programming the Wisconsin's own film. Okay. So that's...
it's like Dirty Angels or I can't remember.
Sorry, I wish I had the title.
I'm trying to find it, and it can't. Okay. There's so many
looking
movies,
at the guide.
You know.
Yeah, where can you get a guide, by the way, or online?
This was in the newspaper.
Okay.
It was in one of the supplements.
It's in Isthmus. Yeah, I don't know if it has been put in one of the other newspapers, too. It was in this month's issue of Isthmus.
Yeah, I think that's where
this
comes
Isthmus.
From.
You can get it there.
You can still get that.
And we have the full schedule online, which is wifilmfest.org. And,
so general admission is about $12 for each and every event. And you can buy an all-festival pass, which is $325.
Get you in everything.
But I want to kind of get into the reason why.
Sure.
This is such a fantastic deal.
Yeah.
An idea that has been around for a long time. That's why this film festival is very successful.
Sure.
And that is to see these movies in the theater for the very first time.
Right. And that's...
For this generation.
That's the idea. Yeah. I mean, this is why the artists who made them made them. So they're to be seen in a cinema space, right? In a theater where the lights are off, you're with an audience, and everyone's attention is wrapped and everyone's cell phones are off and they're paying attention to one screen all at the same time. This is what movie going is. And so this is an opportunity for people to indulge. And not only that, to see things that, maybe normally would be receiving regular distribution. And some of the films we're showing, you know, will be released on local screens in the weeks and months following the festival. But a lot of things won't. This will be the only opportunity to see, you know, something like Il Capitano, which is Oscar-nominated, and several other premieres that we're going to have next week. And this is the chance to see them, you know, as they were intended, with an audience, and to experience the cinema of the world. We have things from almost all the continents, and then things from throughout film history too.
Jim, are people going back to the movies? Generally speaking, I'm not talking about the festival now, but just overall, is the film industry recovered from the pandemic? Are people going back to seeing the big blockbusters and all the other movies that are coming?
We definitely noticed a spike in attendance at the festival last year. That seemed to be kind of like, okay, we're coming back, we're here. And then, you know, our trends tend to go with the industry, and that's exactly what was happening with theaters. And then suddenly last summer, we had the writer's strike and the actor's strike, which put productions on hold, which screwed up the studio schedules. And we're talking about Hollywood here, and the mega productions, and there are less of those being made. And so I think, you know, we've kind of been in a box office slump since like the holiday season.
Right.
I think things are starting to come back now with King Kong and Godzilla.
That's great.
Yeah, that's an amazing series.
Yeah.
Right? It just kind of crept up on everybody. And all of a sudden, you know, all these King Kong, Godzilla movies are out there now.
Yeah, well, then
one got an Academy Award.
The Japanese Godzilla Year Zero that came out last year is an extraordinary film.
Angels of Dirt is the movie that is local.
Thank you very much.
The movie I was trying to think of at the Barrymore Theater, and that is on Sunday.
Great.
7:18, we're coming right back with Jim Healy from the Wisconsin Film Festival.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. News from the Center, WRCE.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine. Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to WRJN's The Don Rosen Show, where this week Don welcomed in former WRJN morning air personality and program director Jim Sorensen, who remembers his years at the station.
Good morning at 7:08 at WRJN Radio, hometown radio over Fresno, Civic Media Station. I'm Don Rosen. Tom Carco joining me here in studio today because today is WRJN historical marker number 7, lucky 7. Jim Sorensen, former morning air personality here at WRJN Radio before I got here. And I think he came with the bricks in the building. Jim Sorensen, hey, Jim, thanks for joining us this morning. I do appreciate it.
Pleasure being here. I had to get up anyway. I got a colonoscopy scheduled for later.
You don't really.
Figures.
You don't really. Okay, no, good. No. I just. No. Yeah, that last night would have been the worst night of your life. It's not the colonoscopy. It's the night before the colonoscopy. I know. I've had a couple of them. By the way, I did read something the other day. They said they have done colonoscopies where they found living organisms like insects and everything inside during a colonoscopy, and I want my doctor to know if he finds anything in there. I don't want to know about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't need to know that.
Yeah, I don't need that either. So, Jim, before we begin with your WRJN career, where am I calling now? Where do you live now?
South Florida, Southeast Florida. I live in Boca Raton.
Okay. When did you start in radio? What year are we talking? Not here, but in radio.
1965, maybe. Late 4, early 5. WFNY in Racine. I have no idea what's happened to it, you know, since then, of course. But in those days, its tower was right outside the studio building, and it was at the land end of the pier down on the lake. And that tower and its light on top served as an aiming point for people who were trying to bring boats into the harbor. That and the lighthouse, of course.
So when did you come to WRJN?
1971. Late in 1971, I'd gotten married earlier in that year, several months earlier, and my wife decided that it would be a good idea if I actually had a job and that paid something. And WRJN in those days was a union radio station, so we all belonged to AFTRA-SAG, and the engineers were IBEW, and I don't think there was another one but the two. But then it was a... It was run like people at the time would have looked at the movies and said, oh, that's a radio station. They got a guy who runs the console, and they've got a guy who talks on a big-ass microphone and things like that.
Yeah. You did. Now, did you have your engineering? Were you technically an engineer or a capable engineer at that point?
I studied physics in college.
Did you?
And one of the things that you learn quickly when you are a physics student is that if you're not really, 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 really good at it, you're going to starve to death. So you go out and you set the exam for a couple of state licenses so you can at least have a job of some sort. I did that. I had state licenses, and then I wrote the exam for the federal license, which was more complicated in those days than it is now. I don't think it even exists anymore.
Okay. Because I remember when I came here in 79 that you had that first-class license. We all saw that up there. It's like, oh, this guy's special.
No, it wasn't anything special about it. It was just... what was required to work, the requirement the FCC had at that time was that if you were going to operate the transmitter of a directional AM station, you had to have a first-class license.
Well, for third-classers, that was a big deal, to see a first-class license, okay?
Well,
yeah, you know okay. Why?
Because it was... I never posted the state licenses. Those were actually kind of plain looking. But,
yeah. So you start here, and there it's an engineer shop, right? You've got union people here. So how does that work for people who have no concept of this, listening to this? How does that work? You're an announcer. You come in. You have to work with engineers who have to operate the equipment, right?
Yeah, the engineers under the contract at the time in the IBEW contract, which is the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, by the way, those guys, we as announcers, performers on the radio, we could do anything, including what they did in terms of operating the console, turning a microphone on and off, that kind of thing. What we could not do, however, was we couldn't push the record button on a tape recorder. That had to be done by an engineer. And so when we come time to record commercials, for example, we would sit in the studio and with a big microphone in front of us, and the engineer would be on the other side of the glass operating the console, and we would use hand signals back and forth to what we're supposed to be doing. And then we would just lay down the voice tracks, and they would put them into the commercials later on.
Quick story. When I was at WSB, it was a union shop, and we had TV, radio, newspaper. We had everything there in that building. And one day I'm coming down the hallway, and there's a Boy Scout troop getting a tour, and the young lady giving the tour is very small, very short, and she couldn't reach the speaker volume in the hallway so people could see. So I upped it for her. Within 1 hour, I was called to the program director's office with a union grievance against me because I turned the volume up on the speaker. He said, don't ever do that again. You call an engineer, and they will do it. I said, but she was out in the hallway with the... I don't care what she was out in the hallway. Don't do it again. So I never did.
Rules is rules.
Some guys are stricter than others. I mean, we used to have things where when you wanted to know what the level was, you pointed at the number on the dial and the guy would turn the knob for you. Yeah, it's the same idea.
So who were some of those engineers back then, if you remember?
Dave DeZurich was the chief engineer, and his assistant was a guy by the name of Gene Butterfield. And
who passed away, unfortunately, not too long ago.
Yeah, great engineer, great human being, too. Love that guy.
Yeah, Dave was a good one of the best engineers I've ever worked for in terms of broadcasting engineers. He went off and worked for IBM after he left the business.
Yeah, David followed Stan Fisher as chief engineer.
He knew Stan quite well. He was a very nice man.
Stan had followed Lee Deccant.
There's a story about Stan, of course. Those of you who have, you know what the building looks like because you guys work in it. But the basement, of course, is, for one thing, it's extra deep. It's very deep, and there's a reason for that. The second thing is it's got a full kitchen in it, and you guys know that, too. And Stan Fisher used to cook lunch and breakfast sometimes down in that kitchen and serve it to the staff. He was a character and a half.
I happened to, out of the blue, Lyman Marin's son, David, called me last night. I hadn't talked to him in decades. He mentioned Stan Fisher cooking down there. Said he used a garbage can, a metal garbage can, a clean one, I'm assuming, and cooked roast beef in that thing.
I've heard that. I never had the opportunity to participate in it, but I heard the story.
So the story.
You know why the basement is so deep, don't you?
Right. I was going to get to that. Why is it so deep, so tall?
Because at one point, first we'll start outside. Go outside and look at the tower. You'll see the tower is what's called in the tower business a composite tower. It is paper-legged on part of it and straight on part of it. The straight part, which is now a truss or a lattice-type truss, at one point in time when I joined the company, it was a slot antenna. It was a 2-foot diameter aluminum tube, basically, with a slot down one side that was that length and stood right where that truss is now, and it was for an FM station. The FM station used to broadcast from that. It got to the point where structurally it was so distressed that it was threatening to fall and land on cars in the parking lot, so they decided to spend the money to have a truss put on there. Since the FM had gone away anyway, it became, I think, WRKR, if I'm not mistaken, in those days.
Jim, we got to take a break here, so can hang on to that, and we'll come back.
Want to hear the story?
Yes,
want to hear everything. Jim Sorensen's here. It is WRJN Historical Marker number 7. Tom Carco joining in the conversation here. Hometown Radio Refreshed, a Civic Media station.
The Don Rosen Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WRJN weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. News from the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. Richland County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Women's National NCAA Basketball Champion, South Carolina.
Perfection with a touch of sweet redemption. Undefeated South Carolina has won its third national championship.
Beating Iowa 87-75, the ABC TV coverage. Egypt says